This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Sports royalty is on the air. This is the only show with so much talent and expert analysis, it can barely be contained. Jump on now or it'll pass you by. This is Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution.
Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's edition of Sports Evolution. It's episode 8 here. This is the cowboy, Mr. Criscolo, our normal host with the most, isn't able to join tonight. So I'm back in the big chair, baby. Feels so good. Being joined by a couple of familiar faces here with Sports Evolution and previously the Sports Lounge for fans of us going way back, at least a year. Cowboy Senior, how you doing?
All right. How you doing, Cowboy?
I'm doing great. How about them Pats, huh?
Oh, man. What a time of year, too, you know? If you're not juiced up right now, you're not a sports fan. NBA starts tonight. The Green play tomorrow night. The Pats are rolling. The World Series started tonight. The Friars are on the horizon. College basketball in the air. For those who like hockey, that's going on. It's like, this is as good as it gets being a sports fan right now. It's all happening at the same time.
Absolutely.
The adrenaline's not flowing now. It's never going to flow.
You sound fired up tonight, Senior.
I am fired up.
Always good to hear that. And then joining Senior and I is one-time regular on the Sports Lounge and now regular here on Sports Evolution. He gave this show the shot in the arm that it needed. My main man, Keith Schmidt. What's up, Keith?
What's going on, fellas? Loving this. I'm loving this time of year. I hear you, Raj.
This is it.
Absolutely. So we're taping here on a nippy Tuesday evening up in Massachusetts. About 9:30 at night or so. We have the World Series going on right now. Game one. The Mets are ahead 2-1. Have to give you a live update. I know you'll be listening to this after the fact, but the Mets are ahead 2-1 right now. So figured we'd talk a little bit about the World Series and then dive right into what this panel really likes to talk about. Now, and Keith, I know you like to talk about baseball, but we're football guys. So, being that we are going to talk World Series, New York Mets, Kansas City Royals, coming in seems like it's going to be a great, great series. You have a couple of contrasting kind of styles, Royals lineup versus Mets pitching, Royals with the home field advantage. What do you think, Keith? How do you think this one plays out?
Oh, I see this one going the distance. The Royals starting pitching is going to have to hold, you know, the Mets lineup to, you know, 3 runs or less because, you know, these Mets pitchers, I mean, for the most part, that's usually where they are, 3 runs or less, 6-7 innings. They're going to get it to that powerful bullpen of theirs, and it'll be close. Now, I like this Royals lineup against these power pitchers for the simple fact they only need one base hit to score a run. They manufacture. They move the runners over. They hit sack flies. They bunt if they have to. They steal bases. So I think this lineup is probably going to give this Mets pitching staff the hardest time out of all the teams they've played so far. On the other side, we'll see if Daniel Murphy is still, you know, Babe Ruth reincarnated again. And Lucas Duda started getting hot that last game against the Cubs. So we'll see if that carries over, but I like the series to go 7, and I'm going to go with the home team and the experience.
Scott would be very unhappy with you, Keith.
I know he would, but I'm sorry. I can't root for any team from New York. It's just not in my blood.
Makes two of us, really. I'm not a huge fan of this Royals team, but begrudgingly, I will give them respect. I personally think that the Mets pitching is just too good. I think that's going to win out. you know, they always say good pitching beats good hitting. And I just think those guys are just too good. I'd like the Mets in six. Senior, what's your take?
Well, you know, before the postseason started on our first show that we talked postseason baseball, I picked the Royals, so I'm going to stay with my pick, even though this Mets starting rotation is awesome. And the weather being what it is right now, the time of year that you play World Series baseball, cold weather certainly doesn't favor hitting. Ball doesn't travel as much. But then again, the Royals lineup doesn't count on hitting home runs either, which can kind of counteract that a little bit. And what Keith Schmidt said about the Royals starters having to hold these Mets to three runs or less, more than likely because of the Mets' great pitching. I certainly don't disagree with that, but I think their starters have been good enough to hold a team like the Mets to three runs or less for six innings, even five innings, and then that bullpen takes over. And as great as the Mets' starting rotation is, the Royals' bullpen is second to none. And again, at a time of year when the ball's not carrying and probably wouldn't be good for a free-swinging team, doesn't hurt the Royals' lineup as much either, so I think they will be able to manufacture some runs. And I also think, having gotten as far as they did last year, made it to the World Series, lost the tough World Series to the Giants and Bumgarner, this team has been poised for this all year long. They're not wowed by the fact that they're there. They expected to be where they are right now. And I think this year they do finish the job. As good as this Mets starting pitching staff is, I think the Royals, we're going to get a lot of close games. And you come down to the wire of close games and the Mets bullpen. I'm not saying the Mets bullpen's bad, but it's not as good as the Royals. And the Royals lineup is a little tougher. They're going to grind it out more, scratch and claw for some runs, win close games, and I'll say the Royals in six.
All right, so we have a couple for the Royals. I'm going with the Mets. I think Scott would probably be on the Mets, I'm guessing. So, and fans, we'll be more in depth reviewing the games as the series goes on here. We were talking before the show, and you know, on the last show, the game was 6-0. It was Mets Cubs was 6-0. We kind of knew what the series was going to be. We kind of already talked about it, so we wanted to get our predictions on the record, and now we're going to move on to the NFL. So big week 7 in the NFL. Bigger week 8 coming up. There's, I think that things are starting to take shape. You know, I always say like the first 5 weeks of the season are almost you don't really know anything, right? But now we're starting to see, you know, the cream rise, as they say, kind of seeing some teams that are dumpster fires and are going to stay dumpster fires. And you know, I'm just looking forward to the week, and I think we should just get right to it. So first and foremost, I'd like to say it was a nice sunny day on that island I was on against Landry Jones on the road in Kansas City. I got laughed out of the podcast studio listeners. Say, well, you guys really, you know, they're going to win by double digits. Pittsburgh, Kansas City stinks. And, you know, it's one of the old adages, right? You don't back a shit quarterback on the road, especially going to Kansas City. It's a tough place to play. So we'll get to that. But first and foremost, we have Thursday Night Football. The resurgent, red-hot Miami Dolphins coming into Foxborough Stadium to play the best team in the NFL, New England Patriots. So Scott usually kicks it over to Senior to talk about the Patriots. So, Dad, Senior, thoughts on the Jets game? What'd you like? What didn't you like? And what do you think about this Dolphins matchup coming up?
I'll stop liking him, and that's standing like all the passes. Double-digit balls. You know, Brandon had six.
Senior, I hate to do this, but you are. We cannot hear you. So, Keith,
You still can't hear me?
You're better now. You're better now. We didn't hear a word there for a minute.
Okay, what I didn't like was the drop balls. Like I said, there were double-digit drops. Brandon LaFell on his own dropped six passes, I believe. We're going to attribute some of that to rust on his part. I'm going to give him a pass because the guy was really good last year. And dropping all those balls, that just isn't the same guy we saw last year. It was his first game back. I'm going to say the encouraging part about LaFell's performance was that he was open all day long. He was doing a great job of getting open. Now, this is how good this Patriot offense is. They were facing the number one rated defense in the NFL, the Jets. They had absolutely no running game. They didn't even attempt it. They just totally gave up on the running game. So if you're the Jets, you're saying, defensively, we're doing what we want to do. We're turning, and we're making the Patriots' offense one-dimensional. They dropped double-digit passes. Oh, my God, and they're one-dimensional. And they still scored 30 points. It's a tribute to how great Tom Brady is, how great this offense is. I'm going to give you a little credit, Cowboy, and pat myself on the back a little bit. Because when we were talking about this game last week, it was, who's it going to be for the Pats? And you said, well, we know that Revis is going to be probably working against Julian, so we can't expect Edelman to have a big game. I'm going to say it's a coming-out party for Gronk. You said Gronk's going to go crazy. This is going to be a Gronk game. And he had a career-high 11 receptions and had a great game. But I chimed in that I thought the guy to watch was Danny Amendola, that him and Brady seemed to really be developing a rapport. And, you know, with the defense paying so much attention to Gronk and Edelman, he seemed to be the guy that was finding the seams. And hence, we hit the two guys. Danny Amendola had a great game again, along with Gronk. So this just shows you how great this team is. They were made one-dimensional. They had guys dropping balls all over the field. Tom still managed to put up a 30 spot. Throw the ball, I believe, 54 times against a Revis-led terrific secondary with a great pass rush and not throw a single interception. The guy is unbelievable. There's no doubt about it. They played minus a lot of guys. I believe they only had, six offensive linemen dressed, only 17 offensive players. They didn't have Deion Lewis, and they didn't miss a beat. You know, they're really an awesome team. My fear about this week's game, you say coming back on a Thursday, advantage home team. It's really hard with the short week to have to travel also. However, Miami had a 41-0 lead over that joke Houston, and they just coasted to victory, where the Pats are coming off, let's face it, playing a physical war with the Jets that went down to the wire. And they're banged up, so it could be a little difficult coming back on the 4 days. That's my only fear about the game, in all honesty. And the dinged up offensive line holding up against Cameron Wake and Sue and those guys. But they always seem to find a way to do it. I'm still going to say nobody comes into New England and beats the Patriots. And certainly the Miami Dolphins don't. They've played great the last two games under Campbell. But you got to temper it a little bit and look at the two opponents. Tennessee, not a bad opponent. Houston, an absolute joke. So now they're playing the Patriots. Now we'll see what they're made of. I say the Pats roll to a double-digit victory Thursday night.
All right. Thank you, Senior. So now Tennessee is a decent opponent. Because you guys were really trashing them last week.
I know, and you look at what they did last week, though. And it's an impressive game by their defense. I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due, right? I mean, you held Atlanta to 10 points. Maybe it's a fluke, but, I mean, your defense played a good game. And Houston is a joke, let's face it. They're a mess, and they're a joke now with this whole Ryan Mallett thing going on where, you know, he's just a complete a-hole jerk, you know, because he got sat down. He overslept practice the very next day, and then he missed the flight. To the game and had to fly a commercial flight, which is come on, that's just totally ridiculous. And they released him today, so
yeah,
the team's just in a yeah, who the heck's going to pick him up, right? So they're a mess. They're just an absolute mess. I mean, obviously their defense is a complete joke. When you know they got the best defensive player in football on the defense, and the defense is still a joke. I mean, that's just a joke over there in Houston. I guess that's getting off the subject of the Patriots. It's just. I'm not that impressed with Miami's victory. It was Houston.
So back to the Dolphins. I think the Patriots are going to win the game. It's in New England. Until someone does it, I think it's a very tall order to come into New England and win. The Jets are a good team. The Jets are a very good team, and they played a good. They didn't play their best game, but they played a good game, and there wasn't enough to get it done. The thing that I fear a little bit with Miami, not so much the defense, is the offense has really, really been clicking. And, you know, you can score points on the Patriots. And could I see a scenario where this is just a shootout and comes down to the last possession? Sure. Lamar Miller is like a new guy with Campbell there. They're actually giving him the ball. And, I mean, he looks every bit the feature back. They just throw a bunch of different good receivers at you. And, you know, Jordan Cameron's a good tight end. And Tannehill, as I am not a big Tannehill guy, but Tannehill has looked good the last few weeks. So we'll see. Like I said, I like the Patriots, but it's crazy to see it. And Keith, you can weigh in on this, but I have no explanation for how Miami played the first 4 weeks of the season other than that they were actively trying to get the coach fired, which is crazy in a 16-game season. Because, I mean, I know the opposition hasn't been great, but the opposition wasn't great before that either.
Right.
I mean, they lost to Jacksonville. And, they're just a totally different team. They just look like a different team. What do you think, Keith?
I think that kind of bothers me. That players need to be, coddled and motivated and get the coordinator and the coach fired before they play up to their potential. I mean, you know, this is what the Dolphins were supposed to be coming into the season, a good team. But, you know, they pissed away, what, three games out of the first five? Were they
four.
1-3?
1-3.
Four. Right. So, I mean, I don't know. That kind of aggravates me that, you know, a guy like Sue and Wake, one sack through five games, that's ridiculous. That should never happen with the talent level on that team. But, yeah, they have played better in the last 2 weeks. But I can promise you this. They're not going to get an 85-yard scamper by Lamar Miller. They're not going to get a 50-yard, 10-yard screen slant pass to go to the house twice. And then the little screen to Lamar Miller. I mean, that was a poor tackling display by the Houston Texans. That shit's not going to fly with the Patriots. They're going to get tackled. Not to say they won't score points, but the way they scored last week against Miami, against Houston, that was comic book shit. That was awful defense. So I can't see them coming into Foxborough and doing that. I see the Patriots kicking their ass, to be honest with you.
All right, I'm going to say. I'm going to say Pats by 7. That's my prediction. You guys both have them in double digits, but it's for a Thursday 17. Night game, it's an entertaining game, and you know, a lot of times Thursday night games, you know, the offense is not very good, and I don't think that'll be the case this week. I think you'll see a couple of good offenses out there putting up points.
I'll give Miami this little edge is the fact that Dan Campbell has changed everything completely. So there's not much film on them, you know, especially last week. They did all their damage in the first half. They did nothing in the second half. They put nothing on tape. So, you know, there's not much for Belichick to go off of, especially on a short week. So as far as game plan, you know, it might be a little vanilla at first. And, you know, the Pats usually struggle, especially that first drive. They're kind of feeling out the opponent, and they get scored a lot on that first drive. But Miami better score on that first drive.
What I'm hearing is that Campbell, what he did right away is he simplified the defensive scheme. And you know what? That might work real well against Tennessee, against Houston. But Tom Brady destroys simplify. You know, the Patriots throw so many different formations at you, and he's got so many different guys that he goes to and
gets it out so quick.
I mean, if you're going to make the reads, if you're going to be simple with him, He's just going to pick you apart.
Yeah.
I see the Pats scoring a lot of points.
Yeah. And
comment
you know,
on the Pats' run defense, like you, Raj, was talking about Miller, and I agree, Miller's very effective, but the Pats' run defense is getting better. If you remember the first game of the season, it looked awful. Well, the last game, I was more impressed with it, and I think a lot of it has to do with that pair of inside linebackers. With Hightower playing the way he played, a great game last week. With him playing at that high level and Jamie Collins, that could be as athletic and good a pair of inside linebackers as there is in the NFL. And that's going to just keep making them better against the run. So I think their defense is improving, and it's going to continue to improve as the season goes on.
Patrick Chung is playing a lot better.
Yeah, he is.
I know he's not one of your favorites, Cowboy, but he's actually they're finally using him in a way that is plays into his strong suits.
Well, they've been manning him up on guys in the slot, so.
And he's been holding his own, too.
Yeah, I mean, he'll have Landry then this week.
Well, I hope they don't go with that game plan. That won't be very smart.
Landry's about as good as it gets out of the slot. So
yeah. Jeremy Curley is one thing. you don't want to be putting him against Jarvis Landry.
He played T.Y. Hilton a lot in the Colts game and handled him very well. So we'll see. Given the way Miami's played the last 2 weeks, it's a game that a few weeks ago looked like a complete joke on paper that is now an interesting game. So,
yeah, we'll see.
So next, we'd love to talk about the Patriots for the whole show, but there are 30 other teams we need to get to here. So, moving on. Next up, we have back to Sunday morning at 9:30, which I for one, 9:30 Eastern. It kind of sucks for the people on the West Coast at 6:30. I used to be one of those, but it's great for us. I mean, football all day, 9:30 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. You can't beat it. But we have, speaking of dumpster fires, we have the Detroit Tigers and the Kansas City Chiefs. The upstart Kansas City Chiefs coming off a big win against the Steelers. Who could have seen that coming? So, what are your thoughts on this one, Keith?
What's senior call them? Track the pulls. That's about what this is about. No, I don't know. I think Kansas City is they're losing a home game, right? This is
correct.
Technically their home game.
Correct.
And that's a big advantage for them, as we saw last week against Pittsburgh. So I think that kind of evens things up. You can throw the ball on Kansas City. Now, I don't know if Stafford's going to be able to stand up straight from the beating he took last week, but I can see this one sort of a shootout. I shouldn't say a shootout, but Kansas City will put points up running the ball. And, little screen passes to the West. West looked a little better last week. And Detroit, I think Calvin continues to come back to his form. Golden Tate gets involved in that. Abdullah, maybe. Yeah, I would say this one will be about a 27-24 win.
Yeah, for who? Who are you picking?
I'm gonna have to pick Kansas City. I can't put any faith in Detroit at all. They're bad.
So they did just fire their offensive coordinator, so maybe the Miami rule applies here where they'll come out and win 45-0. But I think this game could be pretty similar to the Bills-Jaguars game in London. In that you have two teams that aren't very, aren't great teams, but the matchup, I think, lends itself to a lot of scoring, and it could be, I don't think it's really a tractor pull game. I think it could be a fun game to watch. To your point, Keith, Kansas City you can throw on, so Calvin should have a good day. Stafford can probably get right a little bit, but I also like the Chiefs. I think West is very good. He did a pretty reasonable Jamal Charles impersonation. I like that he had a bad game against Minnesota and they didn't just bench him, that they gave him another shot, and he looked good. Macklin's going to be back for this game, and Detroit's secondary is putrid, really, really bad. I know Alex Smith isn't Joe Montana or anything, but Macklin should be able to get loose a little bit in this game, and I just think KC's defense is just a little bit better than, they're both bad, but I think KC's defense is a little bit better than Detroit's. I just think overall Detroit is in, Detroit's just in shambles right now, and I think it's a close. I'm with you, Keith. I think they lose a close game. You got anything to kick in there, senior?
Yeah, I kind of see it the same way you guys do. I see Detroit being able to get some things done with the passing game, but they're not the running game, where Kansas City, I feel, can get it done both ways. I know I trash all over Alex Smith, and I don't think too highly of him, but that Detroit pass defense last week made Teddy Bridgewater look good. So that's enough to tell. If you can make him look good, Alex actually had it, if you look at the numbers, had a decent game against the Steelers, so he should be able to have a good game. He gets Macklin back. Obviously, he can work Kelsey, and they have a running game with West to go with it against a terrible defense. So, yeah, I see Kansas City winning, but maybe not even super close. You know, maybe like a, I'm not saying a total blowout, but comfortably in control of the game. Maybe Detroit's passing offense with their receivers getting them some big plays, but all in all, I see Kansas City just, you know, okay, winning this game by between 10 and 2 touchdowns.
All right.
I got a question, guys, about Detroit's defense, because they were actually pretty good.
Last year.
Competitive last year defensively.
Oh, they had a really good defense last year.
Now, do you think it was all losing Sue, or do you think maybe it's more of Levy? Because the leading tackler from last year, he hasn't really played all year.
Yeah, probably a combination.
Just a combination.
So, I mean, their secondary, they were kind of like the Jets in the NFC last year. Their secondary has never been very good. But you couldn't run on them at all last year.
And they pressured the quarterback, so you had to get it all.
Supported the secondary with a pass rush, which they're not doing now. Kind of like the Ravens, you know?
Right, exactly. So now, I mean, it's real tough to be successful defensively with a poor secondary. You've got to be real strong up front. And they did that last year, but losing Sue and your point, Levy, they're just, I think they're in the bottom. I think they're second to the Ravens for most passing yards against per game. And then they're in the bottom 10 in rushing yards per game, too. So it's not a whole lot good going on there.
All right,
next game, Tampa Bay at Atlanta. I'm assuming we're all going to pick the Falcons, so let's take a second. Am I right about that? I'm right about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Senior, you're not going with Jameis in this one?
No. I'm going to say that Atlanta's offense, which had a bad game last week, really only scoring 10 points at Tennessee, gets well really quick going against a Tampa defense that gave up a 31 spot to those high-flying Redskins last week.
Tampa's defense is awful.
It might have been a little bit of a fluky performance by Atlanta last week. Every team's going to have a game like that. I think that offense just goes completely ballistic on Tampa Bay. I agree with that. That's a blowout.
Yep, so I wanted to talk a little bit about Atlanta, just in general. Do you think the luster's come off a little bit? They haven't looked good the last 2 weeks. Matt Ryan hasn't looked good the last couple of weeks. Freeman is a great player. Their defense played well last week, but they really strike me as like a 10-6 team. Like I think it was a bit of a mirage at the start of the year. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, their offense is going to look like gangbusters this week against that D. You know, Julio Jones will probably go bananas. And, you know, Freeman's just going to eat like he has been. But, yeah, all in all, I don't see them giving Carolina too much of a trouble with that division there. You know, maybe they contend for a wild card because they are 6-1 right now. You know, so, you know, even if they play .500 the rest of the way, you know, they might finish with a decent enough record to get that.
Yeah, I just don't
think. I don't see them as any type of
Super Bowl contender. I don't think they're a Super Bowl
contender. No. You kind of got to say, you know, we're saying they're 6-1. You may as well say they're 7-1. There's no way they're losing to Tampa Bay.
I mean, you're really throwing the Jameis out there, senior.
Okay, well, I'll throw it out there anyway. And I'll say at that point, it's hard to believe they're not going to be better than 10-6. If they start, you know, they would have to go 3-5 the rest of the season. I think they're a better team than that. Well, maybe I know the offense is, and especially Matty Ice hasn't looked that good recently, but maybe it's a bump in the road, you know? I mean, they've got some great toys on that offense. I mean, Freeman really is the real deal, and it's a great receiving core led by one of the best, really, if not the best receiver in football.
I mean, they really only have one receiver. I mean, it's a great receiving core solely because of him. The other guys,
it makes the other guys, Hankerson and Roddy, the veteran, look better, yeah. And I still think Matty's a decent quarterback. And their defense seems to have improved some. So I don't know. I still think they could be like a 12-4 team. I mean, that wouldn't be shocking if they win this week against Tampa, which is pretty much a gimme. Then you go 5-3 your last eight games, and you're 12-4.
Tampa can't score though. I mean, they, you know, you want to talk about weapons? He's got, you know, Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson, Doug Martin's back.
They're not going to win this game. Come on.
Well, no, I'm not saying they're going to win, but they can definitely put up points. So.
Yeah, I don't think it. I mean, I think Tampa will put up points in this game. Absolutely. But I just don't think they'll be able to stop the Falcons at all. Specifically Freeman. I mean, I really think. I mean, he really passes the eye test. I mean, and he's. There's not going to be a lot of resistance. And to Senior's point, they did make Kirk Cousins look good last week, which is not real easy to do.
Real good.
Yeah, so it isn't a murderer's row, Senior, for the rest of the way. So they, the Falcons go home for Tampa, at San Francisco, bye, home for Indy, home for Minnesota, at Tampa, at Carolina, at Jacksonville, home for Carolina, home for New Orleans. So, yeah, it's tough to see them going 3-5 in those games.
Yeah, I think 12-4 is a pretty realistic look at what they're going to be. So that could challenge for the division. It's definitely a wild card at the very least.
Next up, Arizona at Cleveland. Good tractor pull appeal there, you know. Chris Johnson should have a big game because Schmitty, you or I could run for 100 and a score against Cleveland's run defense. Do you think Cleveland keeps this one close, Senior?
No.
Whether McCown plays or not, doesn't matter?
No. Well, yeah, it looks like there's a good chance he doesn't, but I don't think that's not against the Arizona defense. I mean, St. Louis shut him down last week. I think Arizona does the same thing with their D, and Arizona's offense is a lot better than St. Louis's. Yeah, this is a blowout. This is a joke game. Cleveland's not even a decent team, and I still think Arizona's good. They didn't play great last night, but they certainly played good enough. You know, they're a good solid team. They're a legitimate contender in the NFC. They're a Super Bowl contender. A Super Bowl contender isn't going to have many problems with Cleveland.
This isn't Denver
playing Cleveland, a team that's a pretender with their record. This is a real team, a real well-balanced team that has all the pieces. I mean, it shouldn't be me saying this, Cowboy. These are your boys, Arizona.
I like the Cardinals. I think they're going to win the division. I picked it at the beginning of the year. Something about going on the road, West Coast to middle of the country. I think Cleveland keeps it close. I like Arizona pulling it out at the end. Arizona, I thought Arizona didn't play well last night because Baltimore is not very good at all. And, I mean, Arizona almost blew that game. Arizona by 3.
Yo.
Well, if Johnny Manziel plays, I would say by 20. that's my opinion. I mean, you're right about the, you know, flying across the country, especially after playing on a Monday night. But they just have too much talent. They'll give Johnny Manziel fits.
All right. So we're all on the same page here so far, and I have a feeling that's going to stay the same. We have San Francisco heading to St. Louis. So I'll lead off on this one. I like St. Louis in this game. Their defense finally... their defense really showed up against Cleveland last week, and I think you're going to get more of the same. Kaepernick does not react well to pressure, as you saw on Thursday night against Seattle in what was one of the more pitiful excuses for an offensive performance I've ever seen in my life. I think it's more of the same. This game has tractor pull written all over it, because the 49ers defense hasn't been playing bad either, and outside of Gurley, St. Louis has basically nothing, so... I feel like St. Louis, so it's not going to be in doubt, but it's not going to be exciting. Kind of a 17-3, 17-7 kind of win for the Rams. I'll pass it to whoever wants to.
I'm not going to add much to it because I see it the exact same way. A very, very boring game. A so-so offense with a really good running back going against a terrible offense that has a quarterback that he is who he is. He's Colin Kaepernick. That has zero running game. You know, the offensive line doesn't fire off and open up too much, and Carlos Hyde is all dinged up, and the team, yeah, it's a team that's in a mess. It's just a really bad offensive team going against a defense that can take full advantage of it. So, yeah, I'm going to say 21-3 St. Louis.
All right, Keith, you on board with this, or you like the Niners?
Yeah, I would say something similar to that. And you know what? I wouldn't doubt if that score gets a little higher. I could see Tavon Austin returning a punt or a kickoff in this one because I don't think San Fran's special teams is that good either.
It's a good point. But it's really tough to see San Fran doing much against the St. Louis defense.
Yeah, no. Their defense is for real. And Todd Gurley, man, that guy's special.
Very special.
He's fun to watch, isn't he?
He reminds me of Adrian Peterson. I mean, that's what he reminds me of. Power and speed and just... He's just going to, you know, barring like catastrophic injury, you're looking at a top five running back in the NFL for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much doubt.
You know, it'll be an interesting race with him and Amari Cooper for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, if Gurley keeps this up, he has to win it, even though he missed some games. But yeah, we'll get to Cooper. But he's been you gotta like him. He's so polished, and some of the stuff coming out of college with Cooper was that he was he did maybe not quite as athletic as some of the other guys. Well, I think he's dispelled that when he took that screen to the house against San Diego, and I mean he's the real deal too, big time. All right, next up. The New York Football Giants, fresh off a nice win over the depleted Cowboys. Again, I think I might have been on an island there. I'll have to go back and listen to the tape. But again, going to New Orleans. Keith, what do you think?
Well, I picked the Giants to lay an egg last week, and they didn't. So I'm going to stick with it and say they lay the egg this week against New Orleans. I like what New Orleans did last week against Indy. In Indy, they came out, put some points on the board. I think they can. The Giants kind of struggle with pass catching running backs, so this could be a nice CJ Spiller game. They got a pretty decent three-headed monster in New Orleans in the backfield there with Ingram and Robinson. And Spiller has yet to really explode, and this might be the game it happens. The Giants, I do think they can put up some points, but I still don't think Odell Beckham is right. I think that hammy's still bothering him. What was his line last week?
Not mine. 30-something yards, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's not Beckham-light, so he must still be hurting. I'm gonna pick New Orleans in a close game. Well, 24-21 type game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a little more high scoring than that. I don't see either team really being able to stop the other. but I think that kind of game plays into New Orleans' hands in New Orleans. If this game was in New York, I would absolutely pick the Giants. And I'm tempted to pick the Giants anyway. But New Orleans, after a real rocky start, has been playing better. Breeze's arm looks at least 90% healthy at this point. And they traditionally they're tough at home. They beat Atlanta there. It's I like the Saints. I like the Saints in a shootout what might be the most fun game of the day to watch. Senior.
Well, I'm looking in. You look inside that Giants win last week, and if you watch the game, it can be a little deceiving if you didn't watch it and you just look at the score and you think that the Giants played a good offensive game. I mean, they won 27-20. Cromartie got a pick six, and Harris had the kickoff return. The Giants' offense basically didn't do much. 13 points, less than 300 total yards. I mean, the Giants, for the most part, got outplayed on that game, in that game. Defensively, I know the Cowboys have a great offensive line, so you know you got to take that into consideration. But they ran the ball right down the Giants' throats. Really, I mean, they really moved the ball well on the ground. They rushed for over 200 yards on them. Really, the best game the Cowboys have had all season running the ball. So, you know, a pick six and a special team play really won the game for the Giants. So, there was nothing to be that impressed about. Not that I'm super impressed with New Orleans either, but yeah, I see New Orleans. If New Orleans can run the ball to help Breeze out, they could put up a lot of points on the Giants. You know, more so than what, you know, they're not going to have Matt Castle throwing balls up for grabs. I mean, that's another thing. The Giants got Castle handed them the ball three possessions in a row in the second half. He threw ridiculous picks. You know, Drew Brees isn't going to do that for you. So, yeah, I like New Orleans at New Orleans to get their offense going against the Giants. The Giants will score points against them, but not enough. I'll say 31-24 New Orleans.
Yeah, and New Orleans can run. The Giants have a good run defense in general. I mean, I know what the Cowboys did to them last week, but I think the Cowboys are capable of doing that to just about anybody. I mean, McFadden actually looked like a real running back, which is all they really need. But Ingram ran all over the Colts. Ingram's having a good year running the ball, and Robinson is a decent little, you know, change of pace guy for him too. So I think they have pretty good balance in New Orleans, and Brandon Cooks is starting to get going too. Very, very disappointing the first few weeks of the season. I really think that Breeze's arm was just hurt. His shoulder was hurt, and that screwed up the whole offense. I mean, they've looked like a reasonable facsimile of the Saints you come to expect. And yeah, to your point, Senior, the Giants played a terrible offensive game in that game. It's not that it was average. I mean, it was awful. They won the game because of their defense and special teams. So, all right, maybe we'll disagree here at one point or another. I don't like this. I don't like this. We're like the sheep. Minnesota at Chicago. Minnesota at 4-2. Man, it feels like an unimpressive 4-2. But 4-2 they are. They have a good defense. They have a good defense, and they have Adrian Peterson and Stephon Diggs. Looks like the real deal. Yep. So they brought in Mike Wallace. They had Charles Johnson. But this kid looks like a legit. Him and Bridge. It's the first guy you've seen there that Bridgewater seems like he actually has chemistry with. So I think you might see Bridgewater throwing for more yards in the future here with that kid. That kid's a lot of talent. But going to Chicago, Cutler has played well since he's come back. They have Jeffrey back. I mean, that's just. The Chicago can put up points. Minnesota's offense, even with Diggs, doesn't really scare me. I don't know if it's an upset or not, but I like the Bears in this game. I like my home field advantage. Bears by 6 in a fairly high-scoring 30-24-ish kind of game. Keith?
I don't know. I think these teams are basically the same. They, you know, the one week they show up, the next week they don't. I'll agree with you. I think it'll be high scoring. Well, I'll take Minnesota to upset Chicago here. I say Adrian Peterson has a really, really good game, and they won't be able to cover Diggs. Their defense is pretty bad, especially the secondary. So
they've been a little bit better. The Bears' defense has been a little bit better.
Yeah. They still suck. I'll take Minnesota. We got to disagree at some point.
Absolutely. Senior, you're the tiebreaker here.
Well, Minnesota comes in playing good. Really. They are 4-2. They do seem to have, we'll call it a major, I'm not going to call it a dominating defense, but certainly an above-average defense. Their offense is looking a little better. They do have one of the best backs in football. And, yeah, this kid Diggs has burst onto the scene. Wallace is a threat. You know, Bridgewater, there's a lot of quarterbacks that would like to have those toys to play with. That running back and those two wideouts and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, a pretty good pass-catching tight end. That being said, the advantage the Bears have in this game, divisional game, at home, coming off bye week, rested, looking a little better before bye week, too, going in, Cutler playing better. Definitely Jeffrey coming back last game, looking like he hadn't missed a beat while he was out. He came back and really looked good. All that being said, I'm going to say Minnesota in a close game because their defense is I like both offenses somewhat. I give Minnesota the edge in defense, and I say Minnesota wins a close game, and possibly because in a close game in the fourth quarter, Cutler has always been prone to making mistakes, so the defense takes advantage, maybe picks Cutler off in the fourth quarter and wins a 27-24 kind of game. I'll take Minnesota.
All right. Next up, San Diego at Baltimore. These are arguably your two most disappointing teams in the NFL. Both for pretty much the same reason, too. They just can't stop anybody. So this has a definite potential to be a high-scoring game between teams that aren't so good. I like Baltimore because they're at home. I mean, San Diego, their defense is just atrocious. I think Baltimore's defense is better, which is really, really saying something. So while I think San Diego has a little bit of a better offense, I think Baltimore gets it done at home. In a game, again, that's going to be high scoring. Senior?
Yeah, that could be one of those last team with the ball wins games. Yeah, I mean, San Diego's defense made Derek Carr and the Raiders look like a real high-powered offense. I mean, I'm not saying they don't have some weapons, but, I mean, they made them look like, I don't know, last year's Colts or the Patriots or whatever, and so they're an atrocious defense. They're playing from behind all the time. That's why I heard the number, and it's totally ridiculous. I think Rivers has thrown like 127 passes or something like that in the last 2 weeks. I know it goes back to some ridiculous amount of time since anybody's thrown that many balls, and it's because he's only playing behind. Well, his arm might fall off in this one because, let's face it, you're going against the Ravens secondary, and your team's going to give up a lot of points. Rivers should have a field day against that secondary too. So I see a real high-scoring game, but I see just because San Diego's strength is their passing game, and it's a good one. It's a good passing game. And with the two-headed tight end, I don't know if Gates is going to be back, but it doesn't matter that much with Green. And Keenan Allen is looking as good as any receiver in football right now. I just see San Diego having more offensively, strictly because of their passing game going against the huge weakness of the Ravens being their pass defense. So, I mean, honestly, 41-35 or something isn't out of the question in this game, but I see San Diego winning in a game where the clock's not going to be running that fast because they're going to be chucking it all over the lot and just taking advantage of that Ravens secondary and just outscoring them in a shootout. I'll take the Ravens. I'll take the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers' run defense really, really stinks, too.
Yeah. The defense in general is just terrible.
And I think Forsett will be able to get some work done. And the Chargers can't run the ball at all. Gordon's been a total bust. I mean, they're playing Danny Woodhead almost every down because he's not really a prototypical running back. You know, I mean, he's a great, very good player at what he does, but Keith, you're the deciding vote here. You're going to leave me on the island?
No, I'm going to take the home team. I'm going to take Baltimore. You know what? Whoever's kicker performs better is going to win this game. With the extra point misses all the time and missed field goals, whoever doesn't miss wins this game. Because I think, like you guys are saying, they're going to throw the ball and run the ball all over each other. Well, San Diego will throw it. Baltimore will mix it up a little bit. I think Baltimore played a pretty good game yesterday against Arizona. I mean, you know, obviously they're a desperate team. Arizona's defense, especially at home, is really good. And, you know, Steve Smith, he did his thing. Gilmore's back, Forsett. Flacco actually had a good game all the way up until that last play with that interception. But, I can see Baltimore by a field goal.
Yeah, and Baltimore's defense didn't play good against the Cardinals, but they did play better than what they've been playing. A lot of people thought Palmer was just going to go completely nuts. And I mean, he had a good game, but nothing too spectacular. So, all right. Next up, another undefeated team, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Big Ben announced today, Big Ben coming back. We'll make these picks, assuming that he plays, because I would assume you guys wouldn't back Landry again. I know after that disappointment last week, but really good game, really really good game. Outside of Green Bay, Denver, it's probably the best game of the day. Man, Cincinnati. I keep waiting for them to show a chink in the armor, for Dalton to play like Dalton, or for them to fold like they do. And they to their credit, I mean, if you just based it on this season, I mean, they've been every bit as impressive as the Patriots. They've,
yes,
you know, coming down from down 17 against Seattle, I mean, that's a statement win. And they don't get the credit the Patriots do by right because of the past. But this is a real test for them, because Pittsburgh is a different team, a much different team with Roethlisberger. They know each other well. You know that those skill guys on offense are itching to get Roethlisberger back. And Cincinnati has a good defense, but, you know, before Roethlisberger went down, I mean, you could make a very, very valid argument that Pittsburgh had the best offense in the NFL. And it's a, man, I like Pittsburgh to give them the one. I like Pittsburgh to win this game in an upset. Big Ben,
34-24. Ooh. All right. I can definitely see this as a potential shootout, point for point. Like you said, those guys, Antonio Brown, he can't wait for Big Ben to get back on that field. And Martavius Bryant is back now. With Bell, I don't see either defense stopping the other team. So, yeah, I would say it'd be closer, though, like maybe 34-31, 37-34. I see a lot of points scored in this game. A lot of big plays, too.
It's the kind of offenses they have.
Yeah, yeah, you know, big 40-yard strikes here and there. Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to watch this game. Like you said, I think it's the best game of the week.
Absolutely. Senior.
Yep, I agree. I'm going to piggyback on a lot of what you guys said about these. If you look at these two offenses, they both have everything. You guys are sprouting off the names with Pittsburgh, with, you know, as good a running back as you're going to have in the NFL, and Le'Veon, and as good a receiver as you're going to have in the NFL, at Antonio, and Bryant's back with them, and Ben back at the controls should give him a shot in the arm, no doubt. But then you look at Cincinnati's offense, and Andy's been playing at a really high level. That two-headed monster at running back, great wide receivers. You know, it's a great matchup. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to be the guy out on the island and say Cincinnati stays undefeated, because if you look at the other side of the ball, I like Cincinnati's defense better than I like Pittsburgh's defense. And I'm not saying they're going to stop that Steeler offense. No way. But I think they can slow them down and make a few more stops than the Steeler offense is going to be able to do to this. The Steeler defense will be able to do with this Bengal offense. So I'm going to say 31-28 Bengals. In a really, really good game. As good a game as you're going to see all year. This should be a great football game. I'm hoping Ben comes back and is at his normal, sharp self. Hopefully there's no rust there. And I'm going to give the Bengals a slight edge for two reasons. As I said, the other side of the ball, I like their defense better. And the fact that it is Ben's first day back, and there might be a little bit of rust. So I'll go with Cincinnati.
All right. So can't wait for that one. Can't wait for that one. All right, the last 1 o'clock game. This is our tractor pull game of the week. No question. Hands down, take a back seat, Seattle. I mean, San Francisco, St. Louis, because San Francisco, St. Louis is the Super Bowl compared to this one. You got your Tennessee Titans heading to Houston to play the pathetic Houston Texans. I don't want to talk too much about this game, but I think Tennessee blows them out on their home field.
Oof. Well,
I don't think it matters if Mariota or Mettenberger plays. Houston's your dumpster fire right now. They've been down 42-0 twice this year. Twice! And Tennessee is 1-5, but at least they've been scrappy. Houston's rolling over and dying. I see that. I don't think they're going to win another game. Tennessee by 2 touchdowns.
Well, if that happens, I think Billy O gets fired. He's probably on rocky water. I guess he and the GM had a disagreement about cutting Mallett. We'll see. Usually when a team gets embarrassed like that, you know, you got to dig down for some pride the next week and come out. And it's not like they're playing a juggernaut. So I'm going to give Houston the edge here. I say it's an ugly game, 24-21, bunch of turnovers. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I can see J.J. Watt getting a few sacks in this game. Tennessee's offensive line is not very good. So, yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But he better hope it doesn't go the other way, because he will get fired if that happens.
Senior.
I'm going to go with you, Cowboy. Houston is the biggest joke in the NFL right now. I don't see that changing. And Tennessee's at least been representing themselves, going out there and playing hard, playing football. I see them winning by at least 2 touchdowns.
This is Place to Be Nation's Sports Evolution.